Good morning. Welcome to Shattering This, the program devoted to those of you who are aware, or at least open to the realization, that all of the world's political, religious, military, media, institutions are corrupt, that they're counterproductive, that they're working against your interest. If you'd like to join us, this is our last week on GCN, toll-free 877-300-7645. We would like to hear from you. It was exactly as we predicted, Kirk, all last week and the week before. I predicted that what we were going to witness in Europe is anarchy, that the very Muslims that Europe brought in as refugees would engage in jihadist terrorism, and that they would show Europe their gratitude by murdering Europeans. Mm-hmm. What happened on Friday?
Well, they attacked innocent people as their M.O.
Yeah, it's amazing that that's all they know how to do. That's all they know how to do. Is such weasels, so immoral, so disgusting, that as a religious expression, they go in armed and murder unarmed, defenseless, innocent civilians and celebrate it,
yeah,
giving their God credit for the despicable act, and then they accept it. They promote it and said, see, this, we did it. We're proud of it, and we're going to do more of it. Can you imagine anybody that depraved? Or that a society would allow a doctrine that renders its victims that disgusting to continue to infect its home?
My deeper problem is that when you listen to all the reports of our so-called politicians and newsmen and mm-hmm. their take on it is so disgusting, it makes me want to throw some at the TV.
Yeah, I think...
And radicalized, I mean, I know you've had a million conversations with IQ and your books and everything on these people are who's not... What's the definition of an unradicalized Muslim?
You know, what part of Erdogan's statement when he's saying, you know, people wanted Erdogan 3 years ago as the Arab Spring was being touted falsely as a freedom movement, as a democratic movement when it was nothing but Islamic Reformation. And they were touting Erdogan as the model. That's before Erdogan. It was actually during the time that Erdogan was going to war against free press, against any political rival, against sectarianism, against all freedoms, so that he could become a de facto dictator in Turkey. And they were touting him stupidly, ignorantly, as the great example of a moderate and democratic Muslim leader in a Muslim country that all of these Arab Spring nations ought to emulate. And his response, one of the few times that Erdogan's ever told the truth, mm-hmm. he said, what are you talking about, moderate Islam? There's only Islam. Well, Islam knows no moderation. There is this notion that there is a moderate Islam is a complete and utter fabrication. And, you know, Erdogan went on to say that the mosques were their fortresses, the very place where they would launch their attacks on the world. Its minarets were their spears. You know, when I think that the carnage in France, and it's amazing that, you know, I'm getting the show on it because everybody's fixated on it, but... Where was the outrage when the Islamic State took credit for downing a Russian plane? 250-some-odd people died. Where was the outrage a few days after that when the Islamic State murdered 200 people in Beirut? Where was the outrage when Boko Haram kidnapped, you know, 1,000 little girls and turned them into sex slaves? Where's the response when the Islamic State kidnapped thousands of Christian and Zoroastrian little girls, turning them into sex slaves, auctioning them off as sex slaves? Where's the outrage against Islam when these things occurred? Now we want to have an outrage against radicalization? Takes your breath away. It's so stupid. You know, you had the Boston bombing. You say, okay, maybe that's going to wake America up. You didn't learn diddly squat from 9/11. No one figured out what Allahu Akbar means. No one paid any attention to the fact that there weren't any Iraqis or Afghanis that were part of the suicide bombing of 9/11, and that they all devoted themselves to Allah and Islam, and that most of them came from Saudi Arabia, the most Salaf fundamentalist Islamic culture there is, and that as Salaf fundamentalist Muslims, they're terrorists. No one bothered to figure out any of that. They just said, oh, we're going to go on a war on terror. So we invaded Afghanistan and Iraq and increased terrorism 1,000,000%. Congratulations, America. Well, here's your sign. Put it on your forehead. I'm stupid. I can't say you're stupid, because what you did wasn't stupid. It was insane.
Now, they plot these things in the sense that they decide when, who and when, just like in South America, which dictators will survive and who will take over. And they arm both sides. That's just the most ridiculous program I've ever seen.
Yeah.
How do you...
I did the Louis Free show this morning for an hour. And, I presented Islam. I said, okay, let's say that we're going to have the Louis Free religion. And we're going to start the Louis Free religion. And the first plank of the Louis Free religion is that rape is considered acceptable. Are you going to allow that religion to exist? Are you going to say, oh, it's a true and honorable religion, we're open-minded people, we have a plank in our Constitution that says you have the free expression of religion, so if they go around raping people based upon the Louis Free religion, are you going to tolerate the religion? Why tolerate Islam? If you have a religion and your founder is a pedophile, and you say that his example is the best example to follow, and Muslims become pedophiles and kidnap little girls so they can be gang raped, are you going to allow that religion? Or would you be immoral if you allowed it? What if you create a religion where the opening day of the religion, day one of the religion, of the Louis B. Free religion, was, we declare war on all mankind? What if the religion told everyone that joined it that the only way they could stay within the religion is to be a terrorist? And yet this is what Islam says. This is the heart of the religion, where Muhammad is the example to follow, and he was a pedophile, a rapist, a slave trader, a kidnapper, a mass murderer, and a ruthless terrorist. And we make excuses for the religion. You know how many times I heard, oh, terror has no race, no religion, we shouldn't be pejorative? During one of the football games, evidently, in a moment of silence for France, of course, they never blame Islam, and somebody shouted out a pejorative about Islam, and Aaron Rodgers had a conniption fit and said, shouldn't be a place for that in America. Let me say it clearly. God damn Islam. It has been a blight on humanity since its inception. It's the most murderous, most duplicitous, most wholly ignorant, most perverted, most demonic religion ever conceived by man. And that's saying a lot, because we've conceived a lot of very disgusting religions. God damn Islam.
Well, he has, and he will. It will run his course, and then he'll take care of it from that point on. So.
Yeah, their final act will be the great jihad against Jews in Israel. And while they will prevail against the Israeli defense forces, they will not prevail against Yahweh. He will wipe them out. It will be an end to most Muslims at that time. But oh my goodness, you hear some of the things, like, for example, on this thing in Paris. The first person identified, his name was Ahmad al-Muhammad. Allah means servant of Muhammad. It's short for Abd, and it's the definite article. So he is a servant of the Muhammad. So if you're going to be a servant of the Muhammad, you have to look at what was the behavior of the Muhammad. Never did a charitable act in his life. Muhammad declared war on all humankind. He used terrorism as his primary tactic. He did what these men did. He, with the best weapons he could obtain and the most ruthless men he could gather, he attacked defenseless civilians, murdering them. And worse, this fellow was a servant of the Muhammad. That ought to have been enough. But guess where this guy came from? He was one of those refugees. You know, we've talked about the refugees coming in through the Greek islands and then up through Macedonia, Serbia, and into Europe. He was one of them. And so the people are saying, well, we can't stop the migration just because, you know, an Islamic State terrorist came in under false pretenses. No, he didn't come under false pretenses. I told you. He was a Syrian Muslim.
Oh
yeah, now he faked his refugee status. No, he didn't. You brought in the cancer. And that's just all there is to it. And so here we're telling the world, this is what you ought to expect. And that's exactly what happened. I'm flabbergasted that Europe still wants to bring in more refugees. And, you know, Kirk, the next thing we heard, you know, and so many times I heard this, that there was a level of professionalism here. They even talked about these guys as professionals. They were suicide bombers. How do you become a professional suicide bomber?
Carefully.
You know, they wanted to attack the stadium, and of course they failed miserably on the stadium. They never got near the stadium. One of the suicide bombers had a single fatality himself. And yet you have these talking heads that claim to be experts talking about the professionalism of these attackers. I mean, now, my first thing I said, how in the hell do you become a professional suicide bomber, particularly when you recognize the suicide belts? I mean, the reason the carnage was kept to 129 and 99 critically injured, 350 injured overall, is that their suicide belts were amateurish. But then they said, well, they had military training by the way they wielded the assault rifles. So you want to tell me that military training is to go into a crowd of defenseless, unarmed people, of women and children and the elderly, who are watching a show or having a dinner, and you gun them down, that's military training?
Yeah, that's like the Mafia.
The Mafia didn't do that.
Well, they did only in Valentine's Day, but they did it against each other.
But they only did it against each other. There's no case where the Mafia decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go kill a bunch of women and children. I'm going to go walk into a theater and just indiscriminately gun people down. No, they killed rival operatives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if these jihadis had been, when they were Sunnis, had decided they wanted to go kill some Sunni jihadists, I don't give a crap. There's nothing the Mafia ever did that's as heinous as this. This notion that you would plan and then you would celebrate the murder of defenseless individuals, civilians, who had absolutely nothing to do with your grievance, just shows a completely depraved mind, a mind that is incapable of reason, And you're not going to ever, this idea we're going to go in and nation build and a country filled with these kind of people? What a waste of time.
Well, I didn't understand the French government. They it's like somebody from Mexico attacks somebody in Texas, and then they go and bomb Mexico. I mean, so what? What
for what? Yeah.
I mean, you're being attacked from inside, and you go attack some foreign soil.
Yeah. Now here,
deal with the situation at hand.
The French Holliday said this was a declaration of war, and we're going to respond mercilessly, and our response is just beginning. I'd ask you, Kirk.
Mm-hmm. Well,
who declared war first? Who attacked first?
Muhammad.
No, I'm not talking about.
Well,
I'm just talking about between the French and the Islamic jihadists, the Islamic State. Between the French and the Islamic State, who declared war first? Who attacked first?
Well, the Islamic.
No, absolutely not.
Where are you going with this?
The Islamic State didn't declare war on France. The Islamic State didn't attack anybody in France until after the French, until the French declared war on the Islamic State, and the French started bombing the Islamic State.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then this was in retribution for that. You know, cause and consequence. I mean, what is it about people? They have no concept of context. You know, this is what is so repulsive about this is they called it an act of war. Well, damn right. Now, it wasn't actually an act of war because from the sense of they attacked defenseless civilians, so it was an act of terror. But the fact of the matter is the French declared war on the Islamic State and had been bombing the Islamic State for a year or more. And then they wouldn't expect the Islamic State to respond, to attack the French back.
Well, they've also been attacking Africa, too, along the way.
Well, of course. They brought down the Russian airplane. They're attacking every place you can speak of in Africa, throughout the Middle East.
The French
are. But, so, you know, the fact of the matter is, the French attacked first. Muslims, when they put out those first videos of the killing of the two, faux videos, they were faked, but the fake beheading videos, the only reason they put them out is they wanted to be attacked. They wanted the response that the West has come up with to use bullets and bombs to deal with them. Because all they want to do is to die killing non-Muslims for the opportunity to go to the Islamic brothel. And so when the French responded to the Islamic State based upon America's insistence and started bombing them, they played right into their hands. And now they're playing further in their hands by increasing their bombing. What part of this don't we get?
Well, your concept that you can't kill, I mean, you can't beat a religion with bullets and bomb. I mean, how long do you keep playing with this scenario? I mean, it doesn't work.
Yeah, particularly with Islam, which is a death cult. And the first day of the Islamic era is the Pledge of Aqaba. Muslims pledge to wage war on all humankind. That's the opening day of the Islamic era. And then as part of that, Muhammad said, you know, if you play jihad, terrorist with me, then you get to, and you live through the battle, you get to keep 80% of what you steal. You get to keep 80% of the children that you enslave. You get to rape the women. But if you're killed fighting for me, then my God, he promised you multiple virgins in paradise. It's been that way now ever since. But they do.
I just don't know how you get people to fall for that.
Why? I mean, the religion is so unbelievably stupid. Yeah, I have no problems exposing and condemning it because it is stunningly stupid. But, you know, I've got just 2 miles from here a huge mosque. I've got two neighbors within 100 feet of me that are 200 feet of me. They're both Muslims. And you wonder, in a country where you have choice, in a country where information is available, how in the world does somebody fall for a religion this screwed up and then go out and play religious dress up?
It's stunning.
Takes your breath away.
Mm-hmm.
It absolutely takes your breath away that we can have people not only accept a religion this stupid, but that we continue to make excuses for it. We have Paul calling in from New Jersey. Hello, Paul.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Yeah.
Notice how the West gloated about killing jihadi John last week. Now, notice one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Notice they don't call him jihadi Mohammed.
No.
Or jihadi, you know, with an Islamic name. No, they link it. They already whitewashed that.
Correct.
By calling him John.
Correct.
Second of all, the reason why they had to kill him is because, God forbid, he goes to, you know, a news network and then tells whose payroll he was on and who was guiding him and who was doing the...
who's arming them.
And filming him. And right. Who was in charge of that. Because don't forget, there's a quote by John McCain where he says, I'm proud that I meet with ISIS. I know who all the leaders are. He's met with them. There's pictures of him. So John McCain, his hands are all over this.
All over it.
Hillary Clinton, and that's why I despise
the Islamic State is the awakening program. George Bush and Petraeus during the surge, Betraeus, during the surge, created the awakening program. The Islamic State is the awakening program. We created it, just like we created Al-Qaeda through the proxy war that we wanted to fight against the Russians in Afghanistan. The United States created Al-Qaeda. The United States created the Islamic State. It is the awakening program. And we armed them.
Oh, we just parachuted 50 tons of ammunition 3 weeks ago, and it went into ISIS's hands accidentally.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they claim.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and what's disgraceful too is you would think a supposed man like Jim Webb running as a Democrat who already quit in the race could have called out Hillary Clinton in public about that and brought that up, that she was the one behind the jihadis in Libya and shipping them to Syria.
Well, of course, in fact, Ansar Sharia, the Islamic terrorist organization that killed our ambassador and three others in Libya. We're very close to the U.S. State Department and to the CIA. They armed them. They trained them. They befriended them. They gave them tours of our embassies and other facilities. I began this program and had to listen to the ad from the Military Bible Stick. And then in this last segment, Bill Deagle's Nutramedical. I am so glad that I'm on my last week with GCN. I just do not want to be associated with such scandalous claims. So this is the last week of Shattering Myths, and in large part it's due to the advertisers and the shameful promotion of really revolting products. And the shameful promotion of those products is a significant part of the reason. You know, context, guys, mm-hmm. is the, as I said, is the mother's milk to understanding. Nothing is more important to understanding than context. And when we view the Islamic State out of the context, A, of Islam, and B, out of the context of what America did in Iraq, both taking out the secular dictator, which made it a terrorist state, giving it to Iran, empowering Shia Islam over Sunni Islam, causing this civil war, but arming them and empowering them through the awakening program. To disassociate all of that context and history from this discussion renders everyone who is glued to the television to find out, you know, what car was used by these guys, what kind of gun was fired by them, as opposed to the only context that actually will lead to understanding. And the important part is never discussed, and the unimportant details are discussed ad nauseum. What's wrong with us?
Well,
go ahead, both of you. Go ahead, Paul first, then we'll go to Kirk.
I just think people are retarded by political correctness, and that political correctness itself is like a form of self-retardation.
Mm-hmm.
And that the myth of you know, it's basically absolving anybody of historic baggage, overlooking religious fanaticism, the propensity to crime of certain ethnic groups and immigrants.
Yep.
And so it makes them unarmed.
Right.
And
political correctness, what it does is it says the evidence no longer matters. Truth no longer matters. What we're going to do is we have an agenda, and our agenda is acceptable. And no matter if what you say is true, no matter if what you say is vitally important, if it doesn't fit into our agenda, you can't say it. It can't be considered. And that exercising good judgment and rationally evaluating, morally evaluating evidence and reason has been forfeited. So it is absolutely mental retardation. And we have perpetrated it on three generations of Americans and, to a large degree, Europeans. Through the education system, which has been far more about indoctrination than it has been about education.
And like in the Missouri College.
Yes, exactly.
That's a great example of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Their laundry list of grievances, there wasn't a single one of those grievances that was material. And then to hold the chancellor who didn't perpetrate any of them and couldn't have resolved any of them accountable, and they're all going to jump up and down and force him to resign over political correctness. It's despicable. It says that even in an academic institution, we have no capacity to be moral or to be civil or to exercise good judgment.
Well, he clearly didn't get the memo from the Bush administration, which is teaching the world that by being stupid and incompetent and politically correct, basically, you get to advance American foreign policy objectives overseas, and you're not responsible for blowback. I mean,
right.
Condoleezza Rice was in charge of the NSA before 9/11. She warned President Bush at the presidential daily briefing in August about Muslims trying to hijack planes. The two of them did nothing, and they both went up in power, and he won his reelection, and she moved on to being Secretary of State.
Whereas Condoleezza Rice and Dick Cheney authorized the use of torture by the CIA, and no one's holding them accountable. You got the goddamn Condoleezza Rice serving on the NCAA football committee, and she is a whore. I mean, can you imagine somebody as disgusting as would be part of authorizing the U.S. to use torture? And deceive everybody about the validity of the Iraqi invasion and never accept responsibility for the Syrian civil war, which comes directly back to her lap. And yet she's such a bright, wonderful, moral woman. She's a piece of crap.
And so the method is pretend you're stupid. Pretend like nothing happens, and then when a bunch of Muslims shoot up Paris, you gain police powers, and you can have a police state. You see?
Oh, yeah.
And that's the model we've allowed.
Right. Oh, yes, right. As a matter of fact, the initial response all over Europe, particularly in France, to the Islamic State attack is more police power, more integration of the military and the police together, more guns, more control, more lockdown, less freedoms. That's the response. It was the response in America. It's the response in France. And we make it more of a military state and more dictatorial with every blow that's inflicted. We go the wrong way.
And by the way, guess who gets punished? I was listening to NPR, and I felt like putting my foot through the radio. And who is their concern in Paris? That the good Muslims aren't beaten up by neo-Nazis. You see, that's the other thing they do. They immediately invert it, and now they make the concern is, oh, the poor Muslims in France.
Yeah, we
oh, my goodness, they're going to be hurt by neo-Nazis out there.
Now, the
even though there's
matters,
no sign of neo-Nazis doing anything.
It's going to happen.
Right.
I mean, it's going to happen. I mean, what's going to happen in Europe is that you're going to have Muslims continuing to be Muslims. They're going to continue to perpetrate terrorist attacks against defenseless civilians. They're going to be murderous. And the far right, the neo-Nazis, and just anyone who is a racist is going to, and ignorant, is going to respond violently. That's what they're going to do. And then the government is going to come down harshly on the right wing, whether they are neo-Nazis or just racists, violent Neanderthals, and they're going to come down violently against them and impose more and more police-like, military-like tactics, depriving the country of more and more freedom, and you're going to end up with anarchy. The right-wing response, which is to use violence based on race, is almost as bad as the Islamic response, which is to attack defenseless civilians and then celebrate it. Both are wrong, and that's what we're going to have, is a conflict between the two.
Yeah, but the thing
the
about
government.
This, yeah, but don't forget, a lot of the far right people are really just decent French citizens. They're not with the neo Nazis, and they just want immigration and repatriation of the immigrants,
which are totally reasonable
and civilized.
Yeah, if somebody were to say that what we need to recognize is the problem is, I don't hear them saying this, and if they were saying this and writing this, that the problem is Islam, it has nothing to do with any race or any country, the problem is Islam. In France, we need to criminalize Islam, and we need to shut down the mosques, and we need to stop bringing Muslims into France, and we need to immediately export any Muslim that wishes to exhibit Mohammedan behavior. If they were to say that, and it says, you know, if the people are willing to renounce Islam, if they're willing to forego Islam, fine. But so long as they perpetrate Islam, we have to criminalize the religion. If that were the case, and they were using exclusively words and reason and basing their conclusions on the Quran and Hadith, I would have no problem with it, but that's not what's going to happen.
Well, it sounds like you're a Marie Le Pen voter, because were a French person, what she's running under.
I have read many articles about Le Pen, and I have not read a single article where she has been articulate and explaining the reasons that Muslims exhibit this behavior, and that the problem isn't radical Islam, it's not extremist Islam, that the problem is the Islam lived by Muhammad. And without that kind of discussion, any response to Islamic terrorism is going to make it worse.
Well, one thing we know is when 800,000 so far, coming up to 1 million immigrants, 80% of them are young men, mm-hmm. military age.
Mm-hmm.
We know that all they have to do is they don't have to bring guns with them. They'll get the guns in Europe. And by the way, this was a light attack.
Molenbeek is where they get their guns. It's a Muslim enclave in Belgium. And the last five attacks in France, including the Kosher Deli and Charlie Hebdo and the Jewish synagogue and this attack, they all got their weapons from Molenbeek in Belgium. So that is the weapon supplier for jihadis in Europe. They don't have to bring the weapons with them. The weapon is Islam.
True, and their birthrate. The birth rate, ultimately the demographics are everything. And so if Europe doesn't start passing legislation,
the world's not gonna
dealing
last
that with
long.
That, it's basically over for Europe.
The world's not going to last that long. Muslims are going to continue, particularly with this mass migration, they're going to continue to act out like Muslims, and the right is going to attack them. Not on the basis of understanding the religion, not based on exposing and condemning them with words, but will attack violently, and we're going to have chaos throughout Europe. Kirk, that's my conclusion. Do you think that there's any other possibility? I know IQ holds out a 1% hope that the anti-immigrant movement and in Europe will lead a revolution against their government, and that it will be a peaceful, democratic transfer of power.
It could never happen.
Not going to happen.
Now, it was interesting that today the governor of Alabama, and I only read that because, you know, I was born there, came out and said, today we haven't taken in any Syrian refugees, and we refuse to take them in. We're not going to abide by that law. that forces us to do it in that policy realm.
Yeah.
He said, so that's step one, if you really wanted to be. He said, because I refuse to not be, I refuse to not protect the citizens of Alabama.
Right.
I mean, so he closed all his borders. Basically, you cannot get in. He won't do it, and you won't come there.
Yeah, but the head of the European Union just came out and said, we cannot and will not allow the fact that one of the Syrians was posing as a refugee to stop the humanitarian acceptance of these refugees.
So they will overcome it.
That's right.
Yeah, could I make one more point before I go?
Sure.
Yeah, and that would just be that I don't believe most of these refugees are Syrian, and Syrian is a misnomer.
That is correct.
And it's a misnomer. I think really the worst of the worst, as in the case in whoever is fighting in Syria, mm-hmm. are the non-Syrians in Syria. At least the Syrians are fighting in their own country. You know, if they're a rebel or they're for Assad, at least it's for their people within as Syrians. They say only 20% are actual Syrians.
Yeah, and only about 20% of the jihadists in Syria are Syrians.
Exactly.
And you know, you've got a huge percentage that are Hezbollah and Iranian, and you've got a huge percent that that are coming from other Islamic countries. The first was from Libya, but other countries around the world. So. But there are a lot of, and particularly the leadership of the Islamic State is all from the Awakening Program. They're all Ba'ath Party members from the Saddam Hussein days, and they formed the Islamic State out of the Awakening Program to protect Sunnis from the Shia assault that was leveled at them using American weapons.
That's because Americans meddled there, right, and destabilized.
And then we armed both sides.
Let me ask you a question before Paul goes away. The question I was going to ask is, if we refuse to sell them guns and weapons, what can they possibly do? They don't manufacture anything, and they can't maintain things in the desert if we're not supplying them with stuff.
But understand, it's more than us just not supplying them with weapons, because the Saudi Arabians have escalated the supply of weapons 100-fold, and so have the Qataris,
and
the Kuwaitis, and so have the Turks. So it would have to be, we would have to stop providing weapons to anyone in the Islamic world.
That would be what I would do.
Right. Now, under that basis, we do supply 80% of the weapons, so you'd have an 80% reduction if we were to stop doing that. And then if we were to stop doing business with OPEC and funding Islamic terrorism, then no one else in the world would supply them with weapons either, because there would be no money in it.
Yeah.
Well, I watch a lot of videos at Live Leak,
mm-hmm.
and you can see actually the fighting. These people love to film themselves sending American TOW missiles.
Yeah.
At the Syrian government tanks, and that's been a very effective weapon for the Free Syrian Army. Now, the Free Syrian Army.
There is no such thing as a Free Syrian Army.
Right. It is. That's the laundering front. That's the front.
Yeah, but it exists in name only.
Yeah.
And there is no army. There's no command and control. All Syria is. Is jihadis who are Sunni and jihadis who are Shia that are fighting for different goals, and there's a bunch of different Sunni and a bunch of different Shia jihadi organizations, but there is no Free Syrian Army. I mean, it's a complete myth of of America and the West.
Well, it's just to launder the weapons.
Right.
It's so we look like we're not helping. The ISIS religious fanatics.
When you're seeing somebody that's claiming to operate under the Free Syrian Army umbrella, then it is one of the al-Nusra compatible jihadi groups that are still fundamentalist jihadists. It's just that the difference is the Islamic State doesn't have Damascus and Assad as their primary goal. Their goal is only to occupy those areas that are predominantly Sunni. That's the reason why they gave up the town outside of Mosul. Is that the town meant nothing to them? The Kurds didn't go last week and conquer it. They didn't fire a shot at an Islamic State combatant. They just abandoned it because they only want to occupy Sunni territory. That's different with al-Nusra and with its allied groups, which pose as the Free Syrian Army. They want to take out Assad. And it's a very different mindset between the two of them. And
yeah.
And yes, but the problem is that what did we learn when we took out Muammar Gaddafi? What did we learn when we took out Saddam Hussein? What did we learn when we took out the very Taliban that we had put in place in Afghanistan? What happened to those countries?
Fell apart.
They fell apart.
And I just don't believe that they didn't know this in advance.
It's impossible they didn't.
Departments. They seem to be like Satanists.
Yes.
Sowing discord and violence and chaos throughout the world, and now it's spread into Europe. And hey, can you blame ISIS? Listen, the Russian bombs are coming right at you, isn't it smarter to drop your gun and just go to Europe and then take up guns in Europe later?
Of course. The fact of the matter is that at one time, I assumed that the United States was just stupid, that our leadership in the military and politics and the media was just stupid, and we didn't understand the consequence of us invading Afghanistan and Iraq and bombing Libya, and that this civil war has been as a result of our incompetence, our ignorance. But that's not the case. So the leaked WikiLeaks documents from the State Department predating the Arab Spring by 5 years demonstrate that we knew exactly what we were doing, and we did it deliberately.
And they're knowingly evil. That's what they are.
They're demonic. Yep. They're demonic. Yep. Every one of them. Doesn't matter the side, political party. It doesn't matter what religion.
Yep.
They're all sadistic. They're demented. They're megalomaniacs, and the entire system is filled with them. Militarily, politically, it doesn't matter. It's irresolvable, folks.
Yeah, and by the way, and just the fact that we cross oceans to bring this aggression overseas in public, and nobody thinks anything of it. It's normal American behavior. And everybody's
he's condemning of the United States he's talking about the Syrian war, and he transitions from the consequence of the Syrian war to condemning America, and the first statement he makes about America is us using the oceans to protect our force around the world.
And hide behind them.
Yes. And so, the world may not think that that's just behavior as usual for America.
Yeah.
God doesn't think it's acceptable. He despises it. That's why he begins the statement with woe.
Well, even the jihadis earn a little more respect in the sense that they actually do fight from, over there, and they die for the cause, right?
Well, that's all that Islam has. There's no hope in Islam. There's no reason to live. There's only a reason to die. Islam is a death cult.
Exacerbates it.
And so that's why when you're going to go bomb them, that's what they want. They want to die for the cause, because that's when they view that their life right now is not worth living, and if they die for the cause, then they get the multiple virgins in paradise. Now, if you can be that stupid to believe that that's the case, then your life isn't worth living anyway, not worth saving.
Yep, and one thing, too, for every Muslim-like sheik with 100 women, that means there's going to be 99 men without women. And you see, and that's part of the problem, the pathologies of this type of polygamy. It creates a bunch of sexually frustrated men who aren't going to get wives at all. And so they might as well go die for these causes. Yeah. And the sheiks in Saudi Arabia want to throw them out of Saudi Arabia because they don't want those troublemakers around in Saudi Arabia overthrowing their racket.
That's right. They have a racket, and it's like the mafia. They're not going to allow a rival, which is why none of the refugees are accepted into Saudi Arabia or Kuwait.
And since Europeans like these single men, young men, bucks coming over to Europe, Angela Merkel must want those young German girls.
Yeah, because they're all going to be given citizenship. They'll all vote for her and for her Christian Democratic Party.
And so you German girls, you're going to have to put out for these Muslim men is what it is implied.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks to these liberal politicians. You voted for this.
I don't think they won't rape you. They won't rape you.
By the way, most of these young people, they voted for this. They're voting. The people at the Bacalan discotheque, they vote for the liberal politicians.
Of course they do.
They probably voted for Hollande, and so that's what you get.
Yeah,
so
but you know, but if they had voted for a conservative, they would have gotten the same thing.
Pretty much.
I'm just telling you that on politics, and this is the issue, that George Bush was a conservative, Obama is a liberal, they did exactly the same thing there, and which means that if you vote, you're a scumbag. You just ought not vote. There is, you're aligning yourself with what you think is the lesser of two evils, and it isn't.
Yeah, but you know one thing about this before I go. If I'm the only one voting, I'll vote myself king.
Yeah.
Right.
Go right ahead.
Yeah. All right, John. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time. And by the way, I just want to let you know, you have a great show, and I'm going to try to follow you on the Internet wherever you go. All right,
thank
John?
You. Yeah. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you. Kirk? It is. It's hard to fathom how Islam could continue to demonstrate who it is and what it's about, and have people who are victimed by it continue to deny it. That's like hitting somebody over the head with a hammer, and saying it isn't me, it isn't me. It's the hammer. Yeah.
We are so stupid.
We are so stupid.